Good morning. It's good to be here. I always say this, but it's just great to be here in the house of God, to see people that I love and cherish more than anybody on the face of the planet. I look forward to this opportunity on Sunday mornings and anytime we're together. What's been on my mind this week and lately is found in the book of Romans, chapter 8. I want to go there and speak a little bit about the justice of God and justification by God, justification by blood in Jesus Christ. There's a series of questions that Paul asked at the end of Romans chapter 8. It's followed by the things he just pronounced, pretty much what we consider the golden chain of salvation, the 5 points of foreknowledge, predestination, the calling of God, the justification of God, and one day the glorification. It's all an ED. It's the done deal in the sight of a holy God. He can put an ED there because he doesn't work in time. And as far as in the mind of our Father in heaven, it's the done deal. All that he foreknew will be predestinated. That's just, he's predestinated our journey into heaven, not based on our works, but based on his foreknowledge, his predestination. Here in time, he's going to call us. So Paul, he's going to justify us on the cross of Calvary. And that's what we consider justification by blood, the atonement. He was the full atonement. He covered us with his blood. God the Father sees us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only justification that we have. It's not upon ourselves, but based upon the blood of Jesus Christ. Our hope is in nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. He's going to ask a series of 7 questions, and I want to just pay special attention to question number 4 here this morning. Paul asks the question, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who can do it? All that he chose before time ever began, who's going to lay anything to their charge? Well, nobody can. He is the judge of all creation. he carries the big stick. You ever heard somebody say, you know, he carries the big stick, you know. He runs the show, in other words. He carries the big stick. Well, God, the judge of all creation, carries the big gavel. He's put the gavel down and said, you're righteous. By the shed blood of my son, Jesus Christ. Who's going to lay anything to their charge? There's nobody. That's the answer. There's nobody that can come and lay anything to the charge of anybody that he has chose before the foundation of the world, that his son justified on the cross of Calvary. And one day he's going to glorify us. He comes in the clouds. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. He's laid the gavel down, not guilty. That's what justification is. It's declare righteousness by the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ on our account. There's nobody that can lay anything to your charge. That's the good news of the gospel. The devil can try all he wants to condemn you, to throw charges at you, that you have missed the mark. You've come up short. I know I've come up short. That's why I'm thankful that Christ Jesus didn't come up short. That's the whole thing. Don't let him get you down. He's coming like a roaring lion, seeking to steal your joy and to lay charges against your account, saying that you never was a child of God. You never was. I understand that. You have to understand that we're to resist the devil, and he's coming at you. Your soul was so precious that the devil wants it, but your soul was so precious that Jesus Christ, he sent his only begotten son into this world to redeem those that were in the world. That's the good news of the gospel. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Well, who are the elect? Who are the elect? He just got through explaining that. And he says, we know that all things work together for good to them. You're the them. You're the us. When he talks about for whom he did foreknow, it's a whom and it's a them. When you read that, Romans 8, 28 and 30, it's always talking about a whom. It's talking about a people. He didn't work all things together, things in this world, for our good. It's an eternal good, what he's trying to explain here in this chapter. It's for whom he did foreknow. Them he also did predestinate. For whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And them he also called, he also justified. He justified you on Calvary. It was paid in full. There's nobody can lay anything to your charge. I mean, we charge our own self, our own conscience charges us daily how far we come short. I remember one time in my life, I was, you know, years ago, I laid on my couch and I stared at the wall and I condemned myself and charged myself with being a bad father and a bad husband. I just felt like I failed so many times. And I know you go through stuff like that in your life and things come up upon you. We're quick to charge ourselves. But the good news is there's nobody can lay, not even your own self. If Jesus Christ chose you and sent his son into your life, you're justified freely by the grace through Christ's redemption work. You know, in Deuteronomy, we talked about this last week. In chapter 32, verse 4, it says, he is the rock. His work is perfect. I love that. His work, the finished work. When God is perfect and he's the judge of all creation, he's the rock we can stand on, we can depend on. His stability, his strength, we can go to. His work is perfect. His work on Calvary was perfect. It secured every single one of his elect that he chose, that he foreknew, that he sent his son to die for. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. You know, when Adam sinned, he brought sin into the world and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You know, Job had the question, and Job was a just man. He's one of the most upright people on all the earth, but he had the question. He says in Job chapter 9, he says, I know it so of a truth. He knew something. It was the truth of him. He wouldn't have some gospel preacher preaching to him. He had the Lord giving him a light. He says, if I know it's so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? That was what Job said. How can man be just with God? Well, we're not just in our own works. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy he saved us. That's how man we are just with God. That's how nobody can lay anything to our charge. Isn't that wonderful? You can be charged with many things out here in this world. I'm telling you, when it comes to eternity and your home in heaven, there's nobody that can come at you. Not yourself, not the devil, not your own sin nature. There's nothing. It's wonderful. I love it. You know, in Psalms chapter 8, the psalmist says, he says, when I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers, I mean, the God of all creation, the God demands justice. He's the just one, just one. How can man be just with God? That's what Job says. And when we consider the heavens, I consider the heavens, when we meditate and think about what God's done for us, I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him? We've got such a loving Father that loved us so much that he sent his son to die on Calvary to justify us freely by his grace. The unmerited favor of God. That's what grace means. It's not really that hard. It's the unmerited favor of God. We didn't do anything to deserve it. God blessed us with his grace. He blessed us with his son. And the good news of the gospel is we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption. He redeemed us on Calvary. So when you consider the great works of God and his work is perfect, what is man that thou art mindful of him? It makes you wonder. The world will tell you you need to do this, you need to get right with God, you need to, you know, justify yourself basically upon his works. It's based upon his work. It's perfect. What is man that he's mindful of him? Job asked the same question, you know, how can man be just with God? How can he be? It's through the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Plain and simple. Who can lay anything to one of my elect? You know, Peter talks about the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and Asia. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God. God chose a people out of the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You're the as many. You're the whom. You're the them that he talks about. It's wonderful. Am I one of them that he's mindful of me? Tim Lawrence? It's hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine. But I know it's not based upon my works. It's based upon his justification. When he rose victorious out of the grave, showing that he was who he said he was. It's wonderful. I can't believe that God would be mindful of me. But don't let that get you down in the mully grubs. He says in Psalms 139, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm telling you, your righteousness and your justification is based on the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and your home will be in heaven one glorious and final day. And yes, we're what is man that he's mindful of us? I'm telling you, it's wonderful. There's nobody here this morning. I'm telling you, if you ain't never read Romans 8:33, who shall lay anything to one of my elect? That's God, the judge of all creation. The good news is there's no one. No one can lay anything to your charge. Thank you.